From the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, this is Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Hi, I'm Robert Jeffress, and welcome again to Pathway to Victory. In just a few weeks, we'll celebrate our independence in America as one nation under God. But at the same time, we're mindful of the precarious risk facing our country today. Our religious liberties are threatened by those who ignore God as we stray farther and farther from our Christian heritage. While America's eventual collapse is inevitable, I believe this message will inspire all Christians to become salt and light for the gospel. My message is called America at the Crossroads on today's edition of Pathway to Victory. In these uncertain times, the time is ripe to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We've been given a tremendous opportunity to proclaim the hope and truth of God's Word with multiplied impact. Some friends of Pathway to Victory have set aside a matching challenge gift of $575,000 with the intention of motivating you to give from your resources as well. Every dollar you give between now and July 5th will be matched and therefore doubled in its impact. Spiritual hunger is at an all-time high, and God is clearly calling us to share the hope of the gospel to impact our beloved country and our world. As together, we pierce the darkness with the light of God's Word.
You remember
remember a few years ago when God led us to completely recreate this campus here in downtown Dallas. We were faced with the task, okay, what do you do with all the old buildings? How do you remove hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of square feet of space in all these old buildings? And so we met with the demolition people and they said, well, Pastor, the best way to do this is through an implosion. I said, an implosion. And they said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to take hundreds of pounds of dynamite. We will attach the dynamite to key structural supports within these buildings. We'll explode the dynamite. There'll be a pause. And then the law of physics will take over and the buildings will collapse under their own weight. I said, well, that sounds good to me. Let's go for it. Who will ever forget on that Saturday morning in October a few years ago when we watched the implosion of the First Baptist Church in Dallas? I mean, it was exciting stuff. We had the news media from all over the world here, and we stood on a building overlooking our campus, and they had that big red button. I tell you, I've never been more excited. They did the countdown, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and I pressed the red button. And after the pressing of the red button, that was followed by the exploding dynamite. And the exploding dynamite was followed by nothing. Absolutely nothing happened. I cannot tell you the unholy thoughts that were going through my mind at the moment. But what I forgot was they told me there was going to be a pause between the explosion and the collapse. It seemed like an eternity, but it was only a few seconds until we started feeling the ground start vibrating underneath us. Those buildings started swaying back and forth. Well, you remember what happened. Look at it for a moment. I learned something that morning about implosions. They are sudden, they are dramatic. They begin with a series of seemingly unrelated explosions, followed by a pause, and then a sudden collapse. Ladies and gentlemen, over the last 50 years, there have been 3 explosive decisions by our United States Supreme Court that have so weakened the moral and spiritual infrastructure of this nation that our country's collapse is inevitable. We've already had the explosions. The implosion is coming. We're just living in that moment of delay. You say, well, what are those explosive decisions, Pastor? The first one occurred in 1962. It was the Supreme Court case of Engle versus Vitale. This is the case that removed prayer from the public schools. Of course, this was just the first in a series of court decisions against Christianity and faith in the public square. In 1963, Bible reading was removed from the school, and on and on and on it went until 1980, in the case of Stone versus Graham, the United States of the Supreme Court said, you can no longer even post copies of the Ten Commandments in a Kentucky school. And why did the court say you can't do that? I want you to hear verbatim why the Supreme Court of the United States now says you can no longer post the Ten Commandments in the school. Quote, if the posted copies of the Ten Commandments are to have any effect at all, it will induce the school children to read, meditate upon, perhaps venerate and obey the commandments. This is not a permissible state objective under the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment. Can you believe that? The Supreme Court says we can't post those Ten Commandments in a school because if we post them, the children might actually read them. And if they read the Ten Commandments, they may begin to respect them, to venerate them. And if they begin to respect the Ten Commandments, God forbid, they might actually obey the Ten Commandments, and that's unconstitutional. How in the world do you explain that? The Supreme Court suddenly says, you can't even post, much less talk about, the Ten Commandments in the public school. Did the Constitution change and nobody told us about it? And do the judges today have greater insight into what our founders meant than those who lived closest to the founders? No, they never have an answer for that, but I've got an answer for what changed. What changed is this. We have allowed the atheists, the infidels, the humanists to seize control of this country and to pervert our Constitution into something the founders never intended. That is what's happened, and we've got to say enough to that. We've got to say enough to it. Now look, our founders were clear. In the First Amendment, they said, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion. Our forefathers came from a country where there was a state church and people were coerced to worship in churches they didn't want to be in. That was wrong. Our forefathers said, we want no part of that. And you and I don't want any part of that. But the First Amendment absolutely has nothing to say about nativity scenes or prayers at graduations or Ten Commandment displays. It has absolutely nothing to say about that. Our country was founded as a Christian nation. And although we allow and welcome people of all faiths or no faiths, this country was founded as a Christian nation. But let me tell you what happened. About 50 years ago, starting in 1962, the secularists, the infidels in our country said, let's try an experiment. We're going to see if America can be good without God. That is, instead of abiding by the moral absolutes found in God's word, we'll just let everybody form their own morality. And furthermore, we won't judge anybody else's morality. Everybody is free to decide what's right or wrong for himself. The Russian writer Dostoevsky said, without God, everything is permissible. And that's what we're seeing in our country. The first explosion was the removal of any acknowledgement of God from the public square and public discussion. The second explosion occurred in 1973. And it was a case that actually started right here in Dallas, a few blocks from this church. 1973, the case of Roe versus Wade, the court case that legalized abortion in our country. And since the Roe decision, more than 60 million children have been murdered in the womb. And an additional 1.3 million children are murdered every year through abortion. What is God's attitude toward a nation that not only allows but celebrates the freedom to choose to murder your own child? What does God say about a nation like that? All you have to do is look at how God dealt with his own nation of Israel. I mean, really, when you think about it, Israel was the only nation that could be truly called God's chosen people. God created Israel. He has a special blessing for Israel. But remember what happened when they went into the promised land? They started following after the pagan god Moloch and started adopting the worship of Moloch. And part of the worship of that Canaanite god involved the sacrifice of children. The Israelites would take their own young children, even their babies, and burn them alive on the altar of Moloch. And when God looked down and he saw what his own people were doing, in Jeremiah 32, 35, he said, it would not have even entered my mind that you would have done such a detestable thing. But because you have, this is what I'm going to do. I will raise up the Babylonians, the terrorists of your day, if you will, and they will invade your land and they will take you captive. And that's exactly what God did. If God is going to deal with his own nation of Israel that way, is there any real doubt of what God is going to do to America? The third explosion occurred just 2 years ago, January the 26th, 2015. It was the case of Obergefell versus Hodges. This was the Supreme Court case that legalized same-sex marriage. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You must be homophobic to talk about this. No, we don't hate gay people. We don't hate anybody. But the reason we stand against gay marriage is because we know how that story ends. We know what the end result is. Sociologists have done a long-term study. The Hoover Institute has done a long-term study of Scandinavian countries that legalized same-sex marriage years ago. And you know what they discovered? It was very interesting. They discovered after 10 years, not that many gays actually ended up getting married. What they found was instead the rate of heterosexual marriage declined precipitously. You say, well, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. Why would gays being allowed to marry have anything to do with the heterosexual marriage rate declining? Well, that's an easy one. Whenever you counterfeit something, you cheapen the value of the real thing. I mean, if marriage is whatever you want it to be, a man and a woman, two men, two women, three men and a woman, if it's whatever you want it to be, why even bother going through the hassle of getting married? And that's what's happening in our country already. In the last 2 years, the marriage rate has declined among heterosexuals to the lowest in 92 years. And we know the implications on society for that. We know what happens when children are reared in an atmosphere without a father or a mother. I mean, sociology studies have shown that SAT scores plummet, depression and suicide rates, drug use increase. You see, children are designed in such a way that they need both a father and a mother. Now, I know that's not always possible to have a father and mother, death, divorce, other things, but government ought to be encouraging that ideal relationship instead of counterfeiting it. Now, here's my point in all of this. What I'm simply saying is this: no nation that outlaws the mention of God in the public square, that celebrates the murder of its own children, that destroys the most basic unit of society, the family, no nation is going to survive that. The explosions have already happened. The implosion is coming. We are just living in that in-between time. What are we supposed to do about that? Some of you are saying, this is the most depressing message I've ever listened to. No, this is not depressing. As long as you understand our purpose as Christians, if you understand our purpose as Christians, there's never been a better time to be alive and living in America than right now, as long as we understand the mission. What are we supposed to be doing right now? Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 5. Turn there to Matthew 5, verse 13. You probably never thought we'd get into the Bible. Here we are right now. Matthew 5. Jesus said, first of all, you are the salt of the earth, verse 13. But if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Jesus said, we are to be salt in this decaying world. Now remember, before the days of refrigeration, salt was used as a preservative. Now get this, salt could not prevent the decay of meat, but it could delay the decay of meat. Salt gave the meat a longer shelf life. Now, Jesus said, in the same way, the reason he has left us in this world instead of taking us to heaven immediately is to be a preservative in this world, to not prevent the decay, but to delay the decay of the world. Now, before salt can impact meat, guess what? It has to penetrate the meat. And it's the same way with our culture. We're to try to delay the premature collapse of our country and our world so that we have longer to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do we do that? How do we push back against evil in the world? One way we do it in our country, a major way we do it, is through the government officials that we elect. If you don't hear another word I say this morning, hear this. What we're facing in this country is not a battle between Republicans and Democrats. It is a battle between good and evil, between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. That's exactly what is at stake in this country. How often in church do we pray this prayer? We pray it all the time, the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is being done in heaven. What in the heck are we praying for when we pray that? Have you ever thought about it? We're saying, God, we are praying for, we are working for your will to be done, not just in the by and by, but right now on earth. Let me ask you, is it God's will for 1.3 million children to be murdered in the womb every year? Is it God's will for his name to be outlawed from the public square and for crosses to be taken off war memorials? Is it God's will for Christians around this world like we have here today to be persecuted, tortured, and beheaded by ISIS and other radical Islamic terrorists? Of course it's not God's will, and we have the power to stop it. It's time for us to rise up and say, enough, we are pushing back against the evil in this world. That is what God has called us to do. Now, God has said, you're to be salt, you're to be the preservative, but that's not all he said. He said the reason you're to push back against evil is so that you have the opportunity to do what you've been called to do, and that's to share the light of Jesus Christ. And that's what he said in Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You know the best way to deal with darkness in our culture? It's not to isolate yourself from the darkness. It's not to curse the darkness. It is to confront the darkness with the light of God's truth. Let there be light. Light overpowers darkness. And we've been called to share the message of Jesus Christ with as many people as possible before his return. You know, the only way, listen to this, the only way we will ever change the direction of America is by changing the hearts of Americans. And the only way to change a person's heart is by their personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Jesus who can forgive their sins and give them a whole new way of living. You know, Dr. Criswell, who was pastor here for 50 years, said 35 years ago from the pulpit of this church, talking about America, he said, "The nation cannot turn to God if I do not turn to God. The nation cannot repent if I do not repent. God doesn't win nations or companies or crowds or throngs. He wins souls one by one. And the only way we can lift our nation Godward is if I am moved Godward." And that's why the mission statement of our church, First Baptist Church Dallas, is very simple. Transforming the world with God's word, one life at a time. Many of you are familiar with the French diplomat Alexis de Tocqueville, who came and visited our country in the 19th century. He then wrote a book about his discoveries in America. Do you remember his famous words? He said, "I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her harbors and her ample rivers, in her fertile fields and boundless prairies, in her rich mines and her vast world commerce, in her public school systems and in her institutions of learning, and in her democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution." But it wasn't there. "Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because she is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great."
As we prepare to celebrate our nation's independence and the foundational documents that declare our rights to religious freedom, it seemed fitting to share this urgent message with you about America at the crossroads. And to those of you who generously give to support Pathway to Victory, you're playing a major role in exercising our First Amendment rights. To that end, we're excited to announce a new matching challenge taking place right now. From now through July 5th, every dollar you give will be matched by a group of our generous givers until we reach the final goal. These funds will allow us to broadcast Pathway to Victory on television and radio networks across our nation and around our world. So thank you so much for linking arms with us in this worthy effort to transform lives, one heart at a time. Now, stay right there. I'll be back with more in just a moment. If ever there was a time when we needed God's will done in America, that time is now. Won't you join me in praying intently for the nation that we all love?
In his new book, Praying for America, Dr. Robert Jeffress offers 40 inspirational stories from American history and 40 intentional prayers for the nation you love. Request Praying for America when you give a generous gift to Pathway to Victory. And when your gift is $100 or more, we'll also send you the complete America and the Bible teaching series on CD and DVD. Your generous donation will be matched and therefore doubled through July 5th. Thank you for helping us move forward with boldness as we pierce the darkness with the light of God's Word.
While we celebrate the freedoms we enjoy, we know that our liberty is waning. The dynamite has been detonated and the implosion is near. And I'm hoping and praying that you'll actively engage with us in delaying the decay of our spiritual and cultural demise. For that reason and more, I'm so glad you joined us for this time-sensitive edition of Pathway to Victory. Please come back next time when we look at what Jesus said about being salt and light in our culture in order to delay the demise of our nation and proclaim the gospel. Stay tuned for a preview of what's coming up next time on Pathway to Victory.
Today, when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory, you're invited to request a copy of Dr. Jeffress's brand new book, Praying for America. Plus, three complimentary issues of Pathway Magazine are our gift to you, simply for contacting us today at Pathway to Victory. And when your gift is $100 or more, we'll also send you the complete America and the Bible teaching series on both CD and DVD. Because of our Praying for America matching challenge, your generous gift to Pathway to Victory will have twice the impact. So thanks for calling, writing, or going online to give today. Now, coming up next time on Pathway to Victory.
How is it that God is going to be glorified in this world? It is through the church. God's plan to fulfill His mission is through local congregations. The church is the visible representation of the body of Christ.
Set your DVR and join us next time for the message for pastors only here on Pathway to Victory. On Sunday mornings, nothing keeps us from attending church together online. Log into the First Dallas iCampus. Connect with a live online community from around the world. Enjoy majestic music from the choir and orchestra, along with bold and clear Bible teaching from Dr. Robert Jeffress. Interact, chat, and pray with our iCampus team. Join us online Sunday mornings at 9:30 and 11, and then again at 6 p.m. Central for the First Dallas iCampus. Go to iCampus.FirstDallas.org.